What's up, everybody? Coming to you live from the United States.
That's very vague, thank you.
I'm not going to disclose my location. You don't need to know where I'm from. Coming from New York.
From an undisclosed
still pretty big
location in the Saudi desert.
You're not going to find me.
I am Rich Meister, your Eric Ortiz. This is episode 46 of the Gecko Games cast.
Yes, welcome everybody. You know, some days you may be sitting alone at home or with your family and just wondering, you know, what are Rich and Eric doing? Like, what are they about? And how can I get some of that? And this is how you do it.
This is your right answer. Here. Right here.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
As that one hip-hop song goes, this is how you do it.
This is how you do it.
That's as right.
much as I can sing before.
I also can't credit who that is because copyright, so you know.
This is how you do it, though.
Yeah, pretty sure that was Rich one time.
Yeah.
But hey,
one time.
Rich, how are you?
Pretty good. I played some fucking good games this week, I tell you.
I see this. I didn't buy Xenoblade.
Oh,
because I'm
so
still playing Final Fantasy. I know, you sound the disappointment.
It's not Rhyme Time, but I was going to text you.
I mean, it is, but it's not officially. You know?
I was going to actually text you about this because I was thinking, I'm like, I should make my own just webpage dedicated to this. You know when you go to, like, Time to Beat and you put in a game?
Yeah.
I was going to just put, just for Xenoblade Chronicles, Time to Rhyme Time.
Time
and
to
the
rhyme.
Answer is 1 minute and 48 seconds into the game.
Does he really say that?
Like, oh that my god, like
quickly?
The tutorial battle has Ryan in your party, and I immediately hear, it's Ryan time!
Wow. You get what you paid for. You were expecting it, and I'm glad you got it.
So I put the controller down and said, you know what? That's all I needed.
You threw your hands up and you said, I'm good. That's it.
That about does it. But I did start Xenoblade, but there are other games I actually played a lot more of this week.
What? Tell
just
me
because
about it.
I know how big Xenoblade Chronicles is. And before that came out, I got balls deep into Bug Fables, and I want to see it through to the end.
I'm sorry, you got balls deep?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, sure. You know what? I actually would like to hear more about this. Oh, this is the Paper Mario
yes.
clone.
Yes.
Okay.
It came
you told
out,
me you were going to play this.
Yeah, it came out in November on PC. It got its console release this past Thursday.
Okay.
So I started that. And interestingly enough, I don't know if you'd been familiar with it beforehand, me and our friend Vinny, who we were just talking about ruining your sink, were following this like a while back. I ended up he played it when it launched on PC back in November a little bit, but he didn't finish it.
Mm-hmm.
This game's really fucking good.
I knew it. I was watching maybe a good 10 minutes of it, because I think he was like halfway through. He hasn't finished it yet either. And
I'm now further than he got in the PC
Jesus.
Version.
Jesus. Nice.
I'm like 10 hours in. I'm in the fourth dungeon.
How many are you getting a sense of finality here? Do you think
it seems like
more?
It's a pretty big game because when I look at the world map, I've only seen like half of it.
Wow, so maybe you're looking at a 20-30 hour game. Not bad. No, I was watching like a good 10 to 20 minutes of it, and I was thinking, wow, this just looks really good. I think it was a Kickstarter game.
It was, yeah. It might not have been Kickstarter. It might have been another one of... It might have been Fig.
I hadn't even heard of it, but I was thinking I'm definitely going to play it. 10 to 20 minutes was all I needed to know that one day I'd come to it, and I'd probably play it.
The thing that's like crazy about it to me is, and like the first thing you can really say with some like certainty is, this game is so unapologetically the thing it wants to be, which is the first two Paper Mario games.
Oh yes, that's what I want all of them to be quite honest.
You could probably convince somebody who has no familiarity with it, this is a really polished ROM hack of Thousand Year Door.
Ooh. Talk more like that to me.
Also, the other thing I thought of immediately as I got, well, not immediately, but as I played a lot of it, I was like, huh, just the setting and everything, because it's set in the Bug Kingdom. I was like, you could literally cut out Kabu, the main character, put Mario in there, and it would work as a Mario game. It's just like, Mario went to the Bug Kingdom.
Because that exists,
because
why not?
Because, of course,
mushrooms.
That would exist in Mario's world, you know what I mean?
I mean, to be fair, you had fucking swords coming out of the sky and crashing down in the olden times, so I guess that's fair. Anything's free game there.
And also, Kabu's main attack, Kabu's the beetle character, it works pretty much the same as Mario's hammer in Paper Mario. Like, you hold down on the thumbstick and then release at the right time to do extra damage.
Are you using a controller?
Yeah, I'm playing on Switch.
Very nice. It's on Switch?
Yeah, it came out on Switch on Thursday. That's why I started it now. The Switch release was this past Thursday.
That's great.
It's $25 on Switch.
And you have the unofficial. I didn't even know. He was playing it on Steam.
Yeah, back in November was the Steam launch. But
it's
now,
solid, too. The controls and everything. It's all polished solid.
It feels great. And it's on everything now. As of Thursday, it's on everything.
Ooh.
And I would highly recommend the Switch version.
I was going to say, if I was playing it from what I had seen, I would definitely just use a controller anyways. I can't imagine, you know, I like the feeling of, even to your point, like the hammer where you hold it back and you just let go of the joystick.
Yeah.
You're like,
ah, I got it. That's just it. And unlike Paper Mario, like the one kind of trade-off thing is, if you remember, Paper Mario was always built around having two party members.
Mm-hmm.
You have three in this.
Ooh, they gave it to you thrice.
Exactly. When you start the game, the main hook is you quote-unquote start off as Kabu, who's this beetle character, and he is going to the Ant Kingdom because he's going to be an explorer. The main setup is that Elizant, yes, you heard that correctly, the queen of the Ant Kingdom, has for years been sending off explorer parties as part of this guild to search for these ancient relics to uncover the Everlasting Sapling, which is basically the bug fountain of youth.
Okay.
I
wish they actually said that in the games, too. They just turn to the audience and say, that's the bug version of the Fountain of Youth.
It's basically what it is. And when Kabu gets to the guild, he finds out that they only give explorers permits to people who have formed teams of two. So you meet this bee named V, and she is kind of freaking out because they won't let her become an explorer either. So you reluctantly agree to team up and head to this relic site called Snake Mouth Den that nobody's been able to clear. And naturally you clear on your first try because you're fucking heroes, man. But while
you got that fate on your side.
Exactly. While you're down there, you meet a moth named Leaf who got captured by a bunch of spiders.
Okay.
A lot of cool narrative stuff happens with Leaf as you go on, cause he's got like a mysterious past. And he has magical abilities that, according to him, didn't happen until you saved him. Like, he can use ice magic, but that's all new to him. And you can't meet any... So far, I've not met anybody else in the world that can use magic, but that's his main attack.
Ooh, a rare breed.
So he joins your party, and that's how you become a three-peat. And you just keep kind of going after these relics, and a bigger plot unfolds around you. Because you clear Snake Mouth Den, you come to be known as Team Snake Mouth. And there's a lot of other cool characters. There's, like, other teams of bugs you meet. Like, one of them is this moth and her bodyguard, and she's, like, not only an explorer, but also, like, a pop star in this world.
What?
My favorite team is this big dung beetle and this other, like, ant character who... They're literally known as the team who has never finished a mission. They call themselves the scouting party. Like, they just kind of start a mission and then give all the information to another team so they can finish it up.
Very noble. It's very nice. I like how everybody seems to have their own distinct personalities instead of just, oh, I'm a moth.
The characters are, really well put together. And as you travel to other kingdoms, there's like an evil wasp kingdom. There's the bee kingdom. They do.
I hear about all these bug things. A Bug's Life really, really dropped the ball on this one.
They
could have gotten bigger.
They should have gotten some sequels, man. They should have. There were stories to be told.
I mean, you could have started off with the anthill and the grasshoppers, and yeah, that was a whole class war thing. it's really deep. You don't have to think too much into it. You know, you kind of see it. But then Bugs Life 2 could have been, hey, what if we ever went beyond?
There's also a praying mantis who's a priest.
What's their name?
I do not remember, because it was so many hours ago.
Priest mantis? Or praying mantis, get it? Because the hands together.
Priesting mantis.
it's like no, you're killing our bit. That's why we called it the praying mantis, because they pray. It's like the name's already a play on words.
You're butchering this. But like so much of the design in the world, and there's no explanation in this for why it has that Paper Mario aesthetic. But
which is fine. I actually think that's one of the I've read that before, and I agree with it. I think one of the biggest charms of Paper Mario is that it never was self-aware that was the way things were. I was totally down with that too for a lot. I think even in Thousand Year Door, nobody really, it's only until they got to, I think, Super Paper Mario with the Wii, where you could fold yourself up and do some plane tricks and all that, and they called it like the paper craft, or maybe that was in Mario
no
Luigi's
that was in the original
series. Was it?
Or I want to say, wasn't the, like, the turn yourself into a paper airplane thing in the original?
But I'm talking about, like, more of the self-acknowledgement bits of it, though.
I guess so.
I think in the Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga series, they had the paper jam.
Yeah.
Like, they were pretty abundantly clear that this shit's paper.
Well, yeah, that's when they acknowledge that it comes from another world in this book in Princess Peach's castle.
Yeah.
I get what you mean by that. But what I mean by it in this is, like, you don't behave like your paper. It's just, that's the art.
Right, it's just the aesthetic.
Which is fine. It still keeps a lot of that, like, you unlock, like, puzzly abilities in the real world. Like, the B character, V, her main weapon is a boomerang, or her beamerang. And you can use that to solve puzzles. There is fun acknowledgement with them involving the boomerang as you unlock more abilities for it. Like, you unlock an ability to hold down a button to, like, keep it on, like, you know, rotating a switch while you walk away.
Nice variation there.
And when they explain it to you, all the characters are like, that's not how physics work at all, but okay. Just kind of got to go with it sometimes, I guess. But so there's a lot of cool puzzle stuff like that, and, like, light platforming stuff. It's really good. Like, I knew I was gonna like it, but I didn't expect to like it as much as I do. And even the setting is perfect, because they exploit it whenever they can. Like, all the buildings being, like, these weird, like, boxes and stuff, or there's a banking system that's just a giant gumball machine. The fourth dungeon that I'm in now is an actual sandcastle. Because the area I'm in is the quote-unquote desert area, even though it's clearly just a sandbox.
It's like the vast desert region sandbox out. That's pretty cute. See, I like the cute art style of that, though, or at least the world. That's just, you know what it is, but they're never going to acknowledge what it is.
It has that Paper Mario overall look, and then something about the actual character design almost strikes me in, like, a Castle Crashers kind of way.
I was going to say, actually, from the pictures, too, it looked like something the Behemoth rolled out. It's just, like, that kind of cartoony...
Yeah, the actual character design aesthetic is very in the Behemoth's, like, it's like if Behemoth was going to make a Paper Mario game.
Which is fine. Which is fine, fine, fine. And it's only $25?
$25 on Switch, yeah.
What an easy, easy bargain. I think that's so... I always, You ever play games that are blatant homages to, or direct or spiritual successors to other games?
Yeah.
You ever still in the back of your mind just tell yourself, like, this isn't X for whatever you're playing?
Yeah, I don't get that here. Like,
I was gonna say, it happens sometimes for me when games are so blatantly obvious to be whatever it is that they're successing, but, yeah, I'm actually glad to hear that you don't even get a sense of that, and it's its own personality.
Like, this still works, and, also, oh, by the way, speaking of, like, blatant homages, it even has the exact same metal system, as Paper Mario, where...
I'm okay with that. It reminded me of, when I was playing Bloodstained, for example. Like, in the beginning... Actually, I played a lot of Metroidvanias in the past, where there'll be times where... I mean, Bloodstained specifically, because it's Igarashi, but maybe, like, a good 10 minutes to 20 minutes in, I was like, ah, no, this is its own... Like, it has its own personality to it.
Because
at first you're thinking, ah, it's just, like, Castlevania, but, same thing with, X game here. Yep, really loved it. Oh, okay, great.
Great.
I'm having a break now.
Did you play anything new this week, or did you stick
with more Call of Duty? I didn't, but I am going to be playing Minecraft Dungeons probably this week, because I just found out it was free on Game Pass. I always sleep on Game Pass.
Yeah, are you going to download the... Which version are you going to go with?
The computer one.
Okay, because I was going to say, maybe I'll try and play some with you then.
Well, because Mike said he had it, too.
Yeah. Oh,
he's
yeah,
the
he
one
has
who actually
Pass.
Reminded me. He said,
yeah,
hey,
he texted
I have this
me
on the
about
computer.
It.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look at Mike, just bringing everybody together. No,
okay,
he
so
texted
the three
me
of us
and he said,
it,
hey,
then.
Minecraft Dungeons came out, and then he said that you said, maybe we can figure this out right now, hash it out. He said that you said, why don't you just play Diablo?
I did say that.
Oh my god.
But
it's like no other defense whatsoever. Yeah, no, that was me.
But, yeah, no, I guess I wasn't considering, like, oh, we could probably play it together. So, like, yeah,
I said the same exact thing, and he said, you know, you sound like Rich. And I was like, but I also said, because I was thinking about getting back into Diablo 3 on the Switch, because I was going through the library, and I said, oh, Diablo 3, I wonder, you know, I want to try to go back in. But Minecraft Dungeons has the multiplayer and all that, so we can play some, and it's free, and I heard it was good.
I guess I completely forgot about that. Also, I didn't know it was on Game Pass at the time, so I wasn't considering any of this stuff.
Did you know Streets of Rage 4 is on Game Pass?
I did.
I didn't.
But Eddie wanted to for us to play it together, and he doesn't have Game Pass. So.
I realized the whole time. I was like, you know, I had the power to say, you know what, Eddie? I'm good. I think I'm going to play it myself. But the with Minecraft Dungeons, I think it's so funny how you take a game's aesthetic or just a franchise that it's a part of or a series, and I immediately looked at Minecraft Dungeons and said, oh, this is like a kid version of Diablo. And that's probably incorrect.
It's like, probably incorrect.
I really jumped the gun on this one.
But I think in the back of my head, I dismissed it for the same reasons.
I was like, oh, wait, am I going to build some blocks here? I just wasn't into it. Like, I don't even, what's the
oh, you guys could play Legos?
What's the green bomb things?
I didn't even finish my Millennium Falcon yet.
Yeah, exactly. You know, creepers. What's the green, oh yeah, perfect, okay. Yeah, I'm like, oh, like what am I going to see, creepers? Like, that one fucking picture of that guy with a creeper bedroom set. Like creeper sheets. So I hadn't played Minecraft in like over a decade. I still think that it's an amazing game for what it was at the time and what it grew into.
It's an incredibly important game.
The fad faded for me. I was like, I still see works that people post online.
And I'm not trying to be a hipster with this to just go like, I was there at the beginning, but I was there at the beginning and the game is far. What I'm saying is, I was there at the beginning, but the game is foreign to me now.
Oh, it's complete. I'm sure you've seen them, but I've seen online every now and again, somebody would post something, whether it's on Reddit or just some other place in the vast internet, their creations of whether it's a really extremely detailed picture of just something. They utilize maybe the music notes in that game or the music abilities to literally just make these orchestral arrangements, which is insane. And they just do the most outlandishly amazing things. And I see those, and I'm like, well, I'm never going to... They're beyond
I remember
like,
when
there's
I was
no
trying...
way. The amount of time that I would have to dedicate, it's just not in my wheelhouse. Fuck this game. I was like, I'm done. I can't.
I remember when I was trying to build an underwater city in Minecraft by slowly placing the facade and then using a bucket to scoop out the water block by block.
With those kinds of sandbox games, it really is you... Truly, you would have to dedicate some time to actually letting your imagination go. And I've played these games before, and I've almost felt bad for myself because I would think, oh, you know, like, I'm not creative enough. Like, I'll play the game solo for a little bit, and my brother used to play it, and my cousin and some other friends, and they would build these really cool things that would be, like, this whole transit system. And I would just build, like, this mud dirt hut in the beginning, and I'd say, this is my space. And I'd have the door, and I'd have the torches, and
I lived
bed.
In the swamp like fucking Shrek while they were building a kingdom.
I put the sign outside, and I say, hey, you guys want to come to my server? That's why with Animal Crossing, I don't want people to come to my fucking... Just stay off, because I'll go to others' islands, they'll say, oh, yeah, that's the garden area, and that's the dining hall down there to the left, and the banquet hall actually is over there, and this is my trophy case room. And actually, let me show you my house for a second. They have, like, the pool room and a sauna, and they'll say, hey, Eric, you know, what do you got at your house? I'm like, yeah, so that's my fucking house back there. This mud pit is this is my mud pit. Don't touch it.
That.
And this is my pile of trash that I just put outside. Like, if I don't want something right now, my inventory, I put it out here in front of the house.
I mean, I don't think my island is that bad, but like by comparison to some, like I'm still, it's a fixer upper is what I'll say. Like I've got some roads down and stuff and I'm working on it. I went to our friend Vinny and Heather's island.
Very nice. Actually,
and like I checked it out. They're doing great work over there. And then they're like, hey, so what's going on at your island? And I just wanted to be like, well, now I'm embarrassed to say.
You know, just a little this and that. It's a real you know, come to get a fixer-upper story, as you were saying. You know, it's a real coming together piece that's not done yet.
We're gonna
and it
get
won't
there.
Be done for months.
There's one bridge I still haven't built that I want to... It's a whole thing.
It's a process, all right? And... But same thing with Minecraft. I would build these minor things where I'd say, hey, look, it's my stone mountain. Like, I made this mountain, and it has steps, and it looks cool, and I call it Stone Mountain. When you get to the top, there's torches, and it looks kind of neat. You like that? And I'll say, hey, Eric, that's pretty cool. Why don't you come over to my island? I'll be like, hop in this minecart here. So we actually have a transit system here where it only operates between 9 to 5 based on the redstone. And I'm like...
It's the transit system from the beginning of Half-Life.
Exactly.
Welcome
and
to
you're
Black
just sitting
Mesa.
There thinking, oh, that's cool. I'm like, how long did it take? And they'll be like, oh, you know, just...
This is where we, you know, Admiral over here recently discovered nuclear fission, and they're just...
It's literally just like a quantum core reactor. It's going... And I'm like, you can't even do that in this
game. How did you do this?
And it's amazing, but they're amazing works of art, and it escaped me over time, and then more and more... Obviously, I've seen the... if you've ever seen these, they were like... the videos of MinecraftCon back in the day when they used to have these, and it was all kids, and it's just the perspective in my mind was like, you know, I grew out of it. I just grew out of Minecraft because my creativity was clearly stunted, and also it was for kids, you know?
It's
and,
not the type of game I thrive in. It's more like, for example, I've talked about this on this podcast before, like, I bought into Dreams early on, but I didn't buy it because I knew I was going to use it. I bought it because I knew I would check in every couple of months and see the awesome things other people have made.
Precisely. Same reason why I even bought, buy Mario Maker. I buy Mario Maker. I just said Mario. I buy Mario Maker primarily because I just want to play other people's shit. I'm not going to make anything.
I'm with you on that, but I also, weirdly enough, that's the one creative tool where I always had a lot. Like, I loved making Mario Maker levels. More so in the first one, I didn't do as much in two. And I think maybe the timing was off because my main, like, crux through that is me and Vinny would sit here with the original Mario Maker and just make, like, stupidly hard levels.
Oh, yeah, well, Vinny loved Mario, too. Like, Vinny loved Mario.
We would stick with Mario World, and we made, like, we made levels that were built around. I went back to them right before Mario Maker 2 launched to, like, see where they were at. Half the levels we made together and finished, I can't beat now. Like, we had some weird gimmicks to them where
the
you had
to... skill has left your body.
We had to bounce on spikes in, like, a certain order. Like, there was a degree of memorization to it because we were sadistic, I think.
Well, all these memories and more filtered into my opinion that's incorrect about Minecraft. So every time I see it, I'm like, look at this kid game. Same thing with the Telltale game back when they came out with that. They're like, you want to play Minecraft Tales? And I'm like, no.
I was like, I didn't even want to play Borderlands Tales, and that was pretty good.
Exactly. So... I have looked up at this game, though. I have watched videos. It looks like a lot of fun. And it looks like the team took a great degree of care to just make it the Minecraft aesthetic, but absolutely just a top-down loot grabber kind of thing like Torchlight and Diablo. And it actually just looks like a lot of fun.
I will, I'll download it after this because now you got me.
Especially, you know, the party's full.
What, isn't it four people?
I think you should go.
Who are the other two?
you don't know them.
They go to another school.
They go to another school.
Eric, by the way, I'm remembering this now, so I'm going to put it in the notes because I don't want to forget. This week, it's my turn to recommend anime.
Ooh, give it to me.
I'll give it to you at the end.
Oh, shit. All right, fine. That's fair. But I'm going to be playing that. Really, what I've been playing right now is still Final Fantasy, and who cares about that? We've talked about that stuff. But I care, but you know.
I'm going to save Xenoblade for when I've played more of it, because I got very early on. But there is one more game I do want to talk about this week.
Oh, yeah, sure. Go.
I played Wildfire.
What is it?
It is a 2D stealth game.
I feel like I've heard about it, but is it recent?
It came out this week, this past week.
Staying having your finger on the pulse.
I got it, baby.
The gaming community.
It came from Studio Sneaky Bastards.
Ooh, I like the aesthetic already.
It has co-op. Pixel art is my jam. Steam for $15. It's really fucking fun. Basically, it is a 2D stealth game. I always say, like, kind of modern AAA games, like, that are quote-unquote stealth games are still, like, plausible when the stealth goes to shit. That's really not how this game works. Like, if you're spotted, it's basically over.
You're really done.
But in a fun way. Basically, you're playing as a character who, at the begin, in the first level, you just kind of go through some basic traversal stuff. You hide in grass as you move slowly through it. You can whistle to attract enemies. And it goes through basically, you know, how you'll hide and get around these guards that, once they see you, they're going to kick your ass. And then you get this ability to not create, but control fire. So if there's a fire source near you, you can pull a fireball into your hand, and then you can lob it. Okay. And structures like wood and plant-based stuff are all flammable. And the main idea behind this is you can burn structures to the ground to basically take certain guards out of the equation. But beyond that, you can use it as a distraction. Like, if a guard is standing by this building, and all of a sudden the building goes up in flames, he's not going to notice you sneak by because he's panicking because the building's on fire.
Oh, so the AI is actually quite smart in its responses.
Exactly. So you, for the most part, want to use it as a distraction. Your own character also has a temperature gauge, because you can move through the areas that are on fire, but it lights you on fire, and you need to find a water source to put yourself out or you'll die.
Now, when you're also on fire, does that make you more noticeable to people, too?
Typically, no, because I'd imagine if you were out in the open and just you were on fire, but typically in situations where you're on fire, like there's a huge plain of grass or a building or a bridge or something burning, and the guards are just panicking and trying to get out of the area.
Right, because it's more of a pandemonium. It's just chaos.
Yeah, basically you use it to sow chaos so you can pass by unnoticed.
I can imagine how chaotic that would be on co-op. You just have a friend who's just like, hey, check this out.
And then there are like optional challenges that can make it like... There's bonus challenges for extra points because you upgrade your skills like that as you go through it. I don't know. I haven't played enough of it yet to really tell you how much the abilities expand.
Mm-hmm.
But I know certain levels will have optional objectives that are like, set every building on the map on fire. Like, so you're kind of, by doing that, not only are you, you know, making sure you have to find these fire sources, but you're basically routing yourself a specific way. You're not giving yourself as many options of how to traverse the level because you're burning things like bridges and stuff that might let you take another path.
And I'm sorry if you even said this earlier, maybe I'm missing the beginning. Are there different difficulties?
Is
it just one mode?
Mode as far as I can tell. I didn't see a difficulty setting. It's possible that like challenge levels or something unlock later on, but as far as the campaign goes, it looks like it's just the one difficulty.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. I like games with this kind of simple theme, but just have very... It's just much more fleshed out than it seems on the surface. Like, the elevator pitch would be, so you just gotta start these wildfires to sneak by and, you know, the guards... But they make it a lot more expansive to your points with different abilities, and that's pretty cool to me. Like, that's actually more of an appealing game rather than just the mechanics of start this fire, distract, and then move on.
Yeah, exactly. And also one thing you learn in the first level, which I'm like, oh, I like this. I was able to pick up a chicken, and then you jump off a cliff. It works like Zelda, where the chicken
sails
you down. Yeah,
I always love that. I love when you always have like a bird or just something completely unrealistic in terms of cushioning your fall.
They're clearly doing the Zelda thing where you jump and you kind of glide down because you're holding a chicken.
Love that. It's pretty cool. And it came out this week, you were saying?
Yeah, that also came out this past week.
Fun. I'll have to look that up. Wildfire. 15 Dolores. Affordable and fun.
You heard it here first.
That's my Steam review without even playing it.
Steam review.
I actually, I remembered that I forgot to put on this. I actually did play Slay the Spire.
Oh, back to it, eh?
Yes, because the new game that did come out was Monster Train.
I was going to ask you about that because I've been seeing...
Yes.
Like, I was like, is that
what made you go back?
Because
I know of this game. I have seen this game. And when it had released, I saw it on the Steam top seller list already. And my younger brother bought it. And I was immediately thinking, oh, this is going to be... This is the new kind of Slay the Spire-y game. So, Monster Train is by Shiny Shoe. And it's essentially... like Slay the Spire in that it's a deck builder, which
but
you know.
But it's on a train. No,
yes. Exactly. It's like, put Slay the Spire, you get some monsters, and you're on a train. So the whole bit of this, other than Slay the Spire, is that, yes, it's in the same vein of a deck builder, is that it combines all these nice elements of different roguelike deck builders, or just deck builders in general, like Hearthstone and Slay the Spire and some others. And they put you on this train that has, I think, to my knowledge, from what I've seen, three tiers or three lanes.
Okay.
And you're monsters. And you're trying to ride this train to kind of breach... I don't fucking know. Just go out into the world. Because there's more to life. And the angels or the forces of good are trying to stop you because you're fucking monsters. So you basically use your deck building skills and all these different three-tier lanes with different enemies on you to basically micromanage all of your units and put in new ones and just try to fight this boss at the end who's this angel-looking thing. Don't know anything else about it other than that, but it's gotten rave reviews. And for a lot of people, like my cousin who has put...
jump into it.
Yeah, for if you've put... Number one, if you haven't played Slay the Spire, play Slay the Spire. If you just want something to kind of be that... preparation for a game such as this, only just because I think that even when I was looking at it, I was almost gonna get it, but
the
I realized
Steam
I didn't
World
put time into Slay the Spire.
Also really good.
Which one?
I forget what it's called. The Steam World one.
Steam World
Quest. Steam World Quest.
Quest. Yes, with the with all the different people. Very good game too. You have a little party with you. That also reminded me of Darkest Dungeon Steam World Quest too. They had the. Kind of same vibes with the party.
Yeah, not quite as punishing.
Oh, no, not quite as dark at all.
Dark or punishing.
Could you imagine somebody just gets like a plague in Steam Real Quest? No,
they just get something. They just get like rusted joints.
Yeah, and it's cute. Too.
Yeah, he's dying. You're fucking infected, adorable.
And your head's gonna explode, or you know, you've lost the will to live.
We've all been there.
Well, with Slay the Spire, though, I realized I didn't play nearly as much as it. My cousin played hundreds of hours of it, and so have a lot of people. So they saw this game more of a natural progression into that. And I would actually encourage those who haven't played Slay the Spire, give that a chance, or even to your point, Steam World Quest, if you want something that's kind of introductory, for lack of a better word, in that space, and then go to Monster Train, or you could just jump into Monster Train if you feel like you could do it.
But to me, for a deck builder, I need some
experience. In Slay the Spire, I was playing, and I was just thinking, man, this game is just so much fucking fun. It's such a fun game.
So I guess the consensus is sort of Monster Train more feels like you know more. It's more of a deck builder's deck builder.
Yeah. I'm not saying, again, that people can jump right in, sure, why not?
It's not insurmountable, I'm sure, but maybe, like, Slay the Spire is probably just a little bit more approachable.
I think so, for me anyways, because obviously Monster Train is its own system, so they teach you, and anybody can learn that. But to me, I'm thinking, you know, as a deck builder, I'm pretty amateur at that, and I like Slay the Spire because it's just very simple, but maybe when I pump in some hours to this and I feel more experience, I can hop into another one. Same thing with Darkest Dungeon, honestly. When I first played Darkest Dungeon, I don't know, I was really shit for a while, and it kind of turned me off to it, but I just ended up going back to it after a while. I'm really just trying to learn the game and ended up doing okay with it.
All right.
But it's a fun game, and my point is, just get back in the Slay the Spire, and then go to Monster Train, and check out Monster. I think it's $25, but it's been getting rave reviews, and the art style is pretty cool. I like how you're just monsters on a train, and it's just called the Monster Train. I love when games do that crap. It's no more, no less. Like Wildfire. It's like there's a Wildfire.
Yeah, 25. The Steam version is currently on sale for $22.49.
Yeah, it's a good time to get it. My younger brother tried to coerce me. They said, big sale going on.
10%.
And $2 is $2, but I was thinking like it'd be like $15, and I didn't realize it came out recently, so I was thinking, oh, thanks.
Yeah, it's just that like launch week sale sort of thing.
Yeah, but definitely, yeah, if you like those roguelikes, get in that. That's the way to be. So that's really the only game I almost forgot to bring up, though.
Cool. Yeah. I'll roll us right into the drop, then. Coming out this coming week on consoles and PC, Little Nightmares makes its way to Stadia on June 1st. Oh, Stadia, you're hanging on, aren't you? Valorant gets its official release on PC on June 2nd. Sea of Thieves makes its way to PC on June 3rd. It was already on like PC Game Pass and Windows stuff, but it's coming to Steam, so people might actually play it. Fortnite Chapter 2 Season 3, that's a mouthful, comes to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch on June 4th. Pro Cycling Manager 2020 comes to PC, PS4, and Xbox One June 4th. Tour de France 2020 comes to PS4 and Xbox One June 4th. 51 Worldwide Games comes to Switch June 5th. Command & Conquer, the remastered collection, comes to PC on June 5th. The Outer Worlds comes to Switch on June 5th. And that's going to do it for our lovely first week of June.
I just want to give a call out to this game. It's called Wild. I think it's called Gunfire or Wild. No, it's not Wildfire. I think it's called Gunfire Reborn. It's by this Hong Kong dev group, but it's something that actually came out, I think, on the 22nd, and I think it's catching steam because somebody else was like promoting it or something, or they mentioned it. But apparently, it's like Dead Cells, Borderlands, a bunch of like a marriage of all these other roguelike shooter games into one.
Huh.
I never played it though. I just made a note of it, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll go check it out. But it looks like one of these shell shaded first person FPSs that have these nice little roguelike elements. That's getting a lot of high praise too.
That sounds appealing.
Yeah. I'll send it. You should find it on Steam. I think it's like number 3 or something now. It even overtook Monster Train. Look at how the trends just keep coming hot. But I think it's like $20-something too. Yeah. It just looks like this FPS roguelike adventure game. But they were saying, I was looking it up earlier, almost forgot to mention this too. They said it was good. Like real good. And it came out I think about a week or so ago.
Interesting.
So just hot off the press there.
That's some good stuff. We're getting some real insight there.
Love those indie games, man. You gotta love the indies.
The indies are lighting the world on fire.
I almost, off topic, I almost had the opportunity to buy the Valve Index last week, and I didn't.
Really?
Yes.
Expand on that. It is Gunfire Reborn, and that game's only $11.99.
Yeah, oh, there you go, even better. That's probably why it's getting so much praise right now. It's cheap and it's good. Yeah, I had, it was just weeks ago. I don't even know if I ever mentioned this back in March. But back in March, right before I had moved, I had put in my bid for the Valve Index, because I think the way that it works was that it was if it's sold out right now, that means Valve makes it to order in batches, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I don't know logistics, and with this whole COVID-19 thing, I'm sure even less so. So I put my hat in the ring for it, because I was like, maybe. And I know this is like a biggie buy, because the thing's fucking G. And
big boy.
Yeah. And I kind of saved up a little bit over time. Every paycheck, just put a couple dollars here and there for it. But it took him about, like, 3 months, maybe, like, 3.5 months, I even think now, to reach out to me about it. Actually, like, I'm sorry, 2.5 months.
Basically saying, hey, you can put in your order if you'd like.
Yeah, well, March, they said, put in your bid, and I think you get put on a waiting list. You don't pay for anything, you're just, they'll come to you, and...
You're saying, I'm interested.
Yeah, put me on and the then list. They finally emailed me, though, I think last week, and they said, hey, man, now's the time. I was thinking, cool, man, I thought you were dead. And, you just put
glad
your payment
not.
Information, they'll ship it to you. And I completely just thought about it. And I almost did it without reservation.
The
I was
subject
like,
line
Alex
was not a scam.
Well, yeah, it kind of looks a little shady. But I was like, hell yeah, Half-Life Alyx, Beat Saber. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't justify it, because now I think over those 3 months, I got more furniture in my place, and I just realized that I don't have...
The room.
I don't have it, yeah. I think you need like a good 6.5 by 5 space, they recommended. I don't have that. Actually, I would if I didn't have this couch, and I'm not moving the couch because I don't think I can. So I was very, very reserved on it. You have 7 days to basically complete the purchase after they reach out to you. They'll give you like a grace period. And I thought really long and hard for everything, trying to make it work, but I just imagine myself playing, like, I don't know, Half-Life and just falling.
See, this is why, myself. Eric, you should have gotten a 2-bedroom despite the fact that you live alone. And just had a VR room.
I know. It was in hindsight. I know hindsight's 2020, right? Yeah,
you
but
could have
I,
just put a
I
sign in the door
too,
that says "Welcome to the Holodeck."
Well, because I bought into. I wish. That's the future. I'm telling you. But
no, I firmly believe more so than VR, some kind of hybrid. I think we're all gonna have holodecks.
It's coming. Well, the Index actually, it has the detectors. It has those things that you gotta put up. It almost looks like a fucking holodeck.
And it has the camera on the outside. What I mean is more so like
You go in and
the Windows one that they were doing, where it was like a hybrid between AR and VR, where It was like the glass you see through, but then it blacks itself out to do VR. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, I think those devices are more so what we're going to end up having.
Give it 10 to 20 and it'll probably get there. But yeah, there was the space, but also I was genuinely thinking, because my hype meter was off the chart. I was like, you know, Half-Life Alyx, I'm just going to, okay, like, fucking, I don't need anything else right now.
Ended up playing Halo 1.
Well, yeah. But also, I was thinking, am I really going to make a leap into the technology just for Half-Life Alyx? To its credit, I did look up the library of games, and there are a lot of great games for VR right now, especially if you're an enthusiast and you want to just get a Quest and just play some of them. But when you think about them offhand, I always think of the classics of Beat Saber, Super Hot VR. You got Alyx now. You got, I don't know, you got the fun games like Trover Saves the Universe. There's a bunch of, and plenty more. But there really aren't a lot of Half-Life Alyx tier games on it yet. And to me...
I think it's the first of its kind.
Yeah, for sure. And who's to say, though, when the next of its kind will come, especially now that we're making another leap into the console market. Even PlayStation VR. I know, like, you used to talk up Resident Evil.
Great.
You said it was
a
great thing.
I think that was the baby steps towards what Half-Life Alyx is, because Resident Evil VR is... the first and probably for my personal thing, the only VR game I played that felt like a AAA game done fully in VR.
Which is amazing. Which I think is amazing. And I always like to just hear that there are more games taking a step into that space. I just couldn't justify the investment, though, because number one, I'm not an enthusiast to the point where I am well-versed in the VR market. And two, eventually when I'm done with, say, these games, am I really going to... you know, what's going to come next on the market. So I think I just wanted to wait, and I think I'm going to wait for the next implementation of a Valve Index.
That might be the smart move at this point.
You know, well, unless you're an enthusiast who actually takes it very seriously. I've read all these accounts of people online, not to convince me, but also just because I'm always curious as to what people who are really well-versed in that market have to think. Like, do they foresee not another Half-Life Alyx right now that's, frankly, the first of its kind that's been so deep? But do they expect the trend to now proceed more into the AAA space? And a lot of them don't. Not yet.
Yeah, not just yet. My current VR dream, even though it may be a pipe dream, is you know, I have the PSVR, and you know it has that little breakout box. I hope the PS5 was designed with that in mind, that you don't need the fucking breakout box. I hope the headset can just plug directly into a PS5.
Me too. And speaking of with the PS5 too, I know it's on our
that's our main docket.
They finally did their announcement
this coming Friday,
which is hype.
We're gonna learn what the PS5 is. We're probably gonna learn its release date. We're gonna learn a lot of fun stuff. I hope.
Everybody's really high. I mean, they showed the controller, so I'm going to imagine they're going to show you the hardware.
Yeah,
just a guess.
If we don't see the box, I will be shocked.
I think a lot of people would be too. I gotta say,
I think that's what's gonna.
Usually, when you're showing hardware like that, that's pretty indicative that they're gonna show things.
The main thing I kind of want to talk about today is, what do you think we're gonna get? Because for me, it's this. I think we're gonna see the box, we're gonna see the launch lineup, and we're going to get a release date.
The only thing I'm iffy about is if you'll see the box, but I think you have to show the box.
I think we're,
because I could see them not showing the box and just showing you the lineups, kind of like a state of play. They just say, "Hey,
yeah,
check out what we have, like Godfall and all the other ones that I know that they're trying to plan."
But they are literally toting this as a reveal event. Like,
that's what I mean. Like,
gotta be there.
My gut tells me, though, the writing's on the wall. They're going to show you the hardware. I think they're going to reveal the true backwards compatibility of it. I think they'll at least speak to it.
I think they already said anything for, like, because they said most stuff is going to work. There will be some stuff they haven't gotten yet, and they're working on it. And I think they said any PS4 game that comes out after August is required to run on the PlayStation 5.
Which is fair. I just want another, I guess, a reconfirmation of that, if anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Just especially to really kind of sell it, just to kind of sell it as a package. Because I know during the Cerny presentation, they even talked about that too, but I want it to be like kind of an,
I'm sure,
and it's asking a lot that I'm not going to get, but I want all of this all in one packaging. Like, here's the console, here's the lineup. By the way, with the backwards compatibility, we're going to double down on what that means.
And I also think they need to do what Microsoft did with Xbox, is they need to go here. There's somewhere online where this is our backwards compatibility list. Here's a list of everything that works, and you can look it up at this location.
Exactly. Yeah. Just put it all on the table. And if they don't, then at least talk about it and say it'll come later.
Like, a place like that is going to exist. There's going to be a place where we're going to have all that information posted and it's easily accessible. I think it'll be no surprise to anyone that, like, first party stuff probably goes without saying.
Yeah.
Like, things like The Last of Us 2, of course, those are going to be backwards compatible.
Yeah, and Ghost of Tsushima and all that.
Yeah.
That would be a shot in the foot if they didn't.
It'd be just downright foolish.
I'm curious to see what the launch lineup is. Because PlayStation, unlike X, the one thing Sony,
they've got
to
have one or two heavy hitters they haven't talked about yet. They've got
the one thing I've always admired Sony in doing is that when everybody else pretty much shows their cards,
they play them real close to the chest.
They'll play them real close to the chest, but then when they want to double down in terms of competition, they'll just look at Microsoft and say, "Hey, like, we have exclusives, and these are what they're going to
Royal Flush."
yeah, for sure. And that's, frankly, I always enjoy that tactic just because it's straight entertainment. I love when that crap happens.
I think as far as that lineup goes, there's got to be one true heavy hitter. Like, it's got to be like Spider-Man 2 or something along those lines.
Yeah, you know, it's not going to be Godfall. They showed Godfall, but I think it's because they know that Godfall is just kind of like a nice, it's a nice game, but it's not going to.
It's just, it's, hey, the purchases, here's another thing they're going to have on launch day, you know?
Yeah, nobody's going to show out their wallet for. They need a name brand. I think it could be Spider-Man.
Spider-Man's a possibility.
But I doubt it.
That's not the one I would put as the front runner. I think it's a distinct possibility.
I think they'll just say that it's coming, but not.
Yeah, it's probably Knack 3. No.
You never know. You never know.
I think it might be Horizon 2. I think that's a very distinct possibility.
That we'd track because Horizon came out on the PC recently.
They probably have been talking about visibility. That. I could see Horizon 2 being the game. Like, this is the one. Like, that could be, like, there's a day one bundle with Horizon Zero Dawn 2. Like, it could be one of those things.
Hey, it'll inspire me to play the first. Hey, yo, got him.
It's a good fucking game.
Ow, I know.
It's one of those games where I up and down praise the AI in the environment. Like, watching those dinosaur robots go at each other and stuff like that.
I would love it. But, yeah, I guess we'll just see. And I don't know. I'm pretty excited about it just because I like just seeing, I like having all the pieces on the table. As a consumer, I like to just know. I don't like any of the games, pun intended. I don't like any of the fucking games or the marketing tactics or the reveals and the fucking, oh, what's behind the curtain? Just put it out in front of me. I just want to know how much it fucking costs. I just want to know when the pre-orders or whatever it's going to go live. And then, okay, maybe I'll get it, maybe I won't. But
that's my last question for you. What's the magic number? What do you think the price is? I'm sure we've talked about this before, but we're about to find out. So, like, more than likely.
500. 450 to 500.
I'm going to bet on...
I don't think they'll cross the 500 territory.
I think I'm going to bet on 449.95.
I bet 450 to 500. There's no way they're going to cross over 500.
Maybe...
That's too much at that point.
Maybe a 499 SKU with, like, a little more memory, or maybe... that. I think there might be two SKUs, and one comes with a little more. Maybe it's like, this is the two controller SKU, or maybe this is a pack-in SKU. Even we don't really get pack-ins anymore, but I would love to live in a world where that comes back.
There'll be two different SKUs. They will, for sure. And if they don't, then it'll come, because that's just what they do. I also, speaking of the control, I want to see what the controllers do, too, because I know they already revealed... kind of what it looks like, I want to just see it.
HD rumble,
yeah. Chiro controls. I just want to see it though, dual sense,
that's the name of it.
If they can show an example of it and they actually show me some gameplay just to see it, I'm fine, like, totally chill. But I kind of just want to see how it looks, besides what you've seen in the pictures and stuff.
It's got, based on the controller, I can tell you the box is going to be white for the first time.
I'd be surprised if they did over 500, because it's going to become more and more of a just, or less and less hard for consumers to justify not just building a computer, or buying a computer, I should say, that's pre-built.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling they're going to do that. I'm curious to see, long-term, if they're going to keep boosting PSVR, and how.
Yeah,
instead of just abandoning it, because they have a penchant for sometimes abandoning some of their tech.
I also don't think they will. I think if they really are going to give it their all with that, which they have been for quite a while, I think they might not. I don't think they're going to announce a PSVR 2 or anything, but they might be like, hey, here's a like $600 bundle that comes with the PSVR.
Remember, like, this? And they take out the wand.
You know what's funny is, I think we might have even discussed this at that point, so many people were, like, weirded by the white controller when we first saw that. And yeah. My immediate thought was, like, of course that's what... look at the last piece of hardware they put out. Look at the PSVR. The new controller 100% matches the aesthetic of the PSVR.
Yep. I still want the black. Just give me the black.
I bet you there will be a black option, even if it's not on day one.
I'm not too much of a white guy. I kind of like the black just because it has less scuff and all that crap. I don't ask for too much, at least in that regard. I'm not looking for something to blow my socks off. Mm-hmm. Like, even... you're going to have people who are very fixated on the hardware design. Which, yeah, I'm curious. I'm curious to see what the shell looks like,
but it's not...
if they just gave me the shell that looked like the PS4 Pro, but I'd be okay with that. But, you know, no, I'm just saying, if it just gave me, like, a shell that looks similar without too much of it, I'd still be fine. I think that's a fine console design.
Any huge variation, unless, like, Microsoft, they're kind of thinking in the ergonomic, like, space-saving
I still sense. Love that design. I don't even care. I don't give a shit what anybody ever tells me. I love that thing. It'd be so funny if it was also like that. But no, I'm just, so long as it just fucking works and it's going to be relatively affordable between a $400 to $500 range, I'm not pre-ordering it. I won't. I've never pre-ordered a console in my life. And I won't this time, unless that launch lineup, for me to ever pre-order a console, it has to be strong.
It's got
to
be strong.
Like, I gotta see something out of it. Because Xbox, there's no Xbox has already put the cards on the table, say there's no reason. They've shown their hand in... no exclusives, no nothing. You're not going to get it out of me. You're going to get me to buy it maybe a couple of months after the fact. Maybe. But with PlayStation, if they come out and they say, hey, look at all these great games that we're going to come out with. We have backwards compatibility for these. I would get it more so only as a meaningful upgrade in console spec than anything else. but not for a launch lineup unless there was something that legitimately piqued my interest, or if they bought a they brought something back from the dead that's just so impossible that you wouldn't have been able
Medieval
to know
about 2. It.
Yeah.
Why?
Exactly. They're like, we know you've been asking for it. It's Croc 3. My mind. It. You guys like the
It's
the
a
Gobos?
Gritty, hyper-realistic Croc.
Yeah, and it's just an alligator. It's just an alligator-crocodile hybrid that is HD, 4K. Here it is. Get some Gobos. You're fine. I would lose it. It would have to be something so obscure like that for me to even give a shit or even just say, yo, it's running wild, too. And I'll say...
Oh my God. It's Toomba.
I love Toomba. I don't care what anyone...
Toomba's back, baby.
Loved it. No, but seriously, like, it does take a lot for me to want to get something on launch like that because, number one, also... I want to see just how it performs.
Bully 2.
In the short term.
Jimmy's back, Jack.
I'd be fine. Hey, you remember Dave Mira? Rest in peace. Dave Mira, BMX, whatever number it is. It's back. Just like Tony Hawk. We're back, baby.
Hell yeah, even though Pro Skater 5 was bad.
Nah, but with those kinds of things, I mean, the hype will always generate just from the mystique of it in the beginning, but while they're going through it, I want to see some examples, too, of just how great it's going to be. I mean, Cerny already gave the presentation of just how fucking lit the technology is going to be, and I'm cool with that. I just want to know, why would this be a meaningful upgrade for me right now in the short term?
What can I play on it?
Yeah, what can I play on it? Especially from a backwards compatibility, because that would be huge. If they tell me games that are, of course, popular... Like, they come to the table and they say, hey, you can play God of War on this.
I'm like, of course you can.
Fine. Yeah, of course. I'm not going to do that, though, because
God of War, yeah.
I don't need to do that. Same thing for The Last of Us. Oh, you can play The Last of Us 2 on that. Great. I'm not going to lie to you. By the time that even comes out, I'm going to have beaten The Last of Us 2. There's no reason to do that unless you are a person who has not bought a PS4 before and can now make the leap into the PlayStation 5. I don't know what it would take for me to do that, but it would have to be a game that on launch would really blow my dick off. And
you heard your first, folks.
Yeah, I'm serious. Where it just leaves it as a crater, and I couldn't expect it. And if the controller's sleek as fuck,
sleek baby.
Give me that cool controller skin. That's June 4th.
Yes,
Friday.
I think it's Friday.
No, that's Thursday.
It's Thursday. Okay, it's
that's a day. June 4th is Thursday. So right before the Friday fun, you get nice PlayStation. I'd be surprised if they launched the pre-orders that day. I don't think they'll do it day of.
No, I don't think so either.
Because I know they have this whole COVID business going on, so...
What's that all about?
They said it wouldn't impact anything.
I read
an article the other day, they're like, COVID's not going to impact the price. I'm like, no shit, what are they going to do, charge me more?
Like, we're charging you more.
I can imagine somebody going to the presentation saying, hey, listen.
Is that something I should have been concerned about?
Always whenever I read a news article or a puff piece like that, I think, is this something I even should have? Exactly, right on the money. Is this something I wasn't even thinking about, but should I have been? Could somebody actually come out and tell me, hey, guys, we know we're in dark times right now.
Buy a Toyota.
You don't got to pay more for this. We're gonna help you. We're going to only charge you $450. I'm like, thank you.
Thanks, I guess.
Thanks, man. I almost forgot too. We're always talking about like the last great PS4 games. We always leave out Avengers.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, what games are going to be coming out that are?
Because I guess I still don't think it's going to be great.
No, there is nothing. There is nothing in my body or soul, in the devout comics fan that I am, that ever looks at this game as anything more than
crap. I think I told you, after texting somebody who was in the room for that initial gameplay reveal, I said, so what'd you think? And they just responded, aggressively mediocre.
Crap is very strong. Yes, it's going to be very, very average. That is, I have not seen a single piece of backtracking or gameplay videos or anything else that's going to tell me, oh, Eric, This is the game.
This is it, baby.
When I saw Hulk and Thor, I don't know, beating up cops or military, I don't... And they just weren't blowing up.
I think supposed to be Hydra?
Sure. Let's just say it's a bad guy.
Badman.
Sorry, current state of affairs. I just imagined everybody was just beating up the
police. To be fair.
But the idea of Hulk let's say it's Hydra. You take this normal Hydra dude in the videos, they just show Hulk punching people and they're still alive. I'm like, nah. Nah.
That guy's dead.
You couldn't convince me. They have to blow up on impact. Like, there's no way. I remember when they were initially advertising it. I like Nolan North. I like a lot of the more commonly known voice. I didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy the game for that.
I think always that,
it looked
like,
good because you got Ms. Marvel and some others, but it's just that game is completely off my radar. That the other day I saw a video of it and I said, oh shit, it's the Avengers.
Well, that's
game. Like, I forgot
the funny
that
part is the shit they started to market later. I was like, well, show more of that because that could be more intriguing. Like, now I have reason to believe that the narrative line might be about Ms. Marvel trying to bring the Avengers back together. And I'm like, well, that storyline sounds way more interesting than what you kept showing.
Do you remember when it was, was it no, it wasn't E3. But
it was E3.
Was it E3 event last year?
It was E3.
Okay, where they announced Final Fantasy VIII, too, during the Square Enix panel?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember, I was watching it with my older brother at the time. It was the Square Enix panel for E3. And they showed the Marvel banners, or at least the symbols.
Yeah.
Of Iron Man, Hulk, with his... his fucking symbol of a fist. And some others. I have no idea still to this day why they didn't hype everybody up by just showing Ms. Marvel's, like, superhero insignia.
Yeah.
I didn't get it. Like, why wouldn't you just hype it up at the very end of it and say, oh, and by the way? Because she is at the height of her popularity at the
time.
Yeah. And everybody loves
all the interesting stuff in the game seems to be coming from what happens with her. And they didn't show
any of it.
They
probably didn't want to spoil it, or they didn't have it ready.
Yeah,
but it just looks mediocre, and I keep thinking of the graphics too. And everybody says graphics don't matter. Well, guess what? I think of this game, and I say it does not look that great. So
I think also because the color palette choices and everything look aggressively dull.
And the designs, they don't track with me.
Yeah, I don't like them.
I love how this is like the Avengers hating hour. Okay, it could be good. It looks average, and I don't like the costume designs of any of these people. I dislike it. Very hard. And I'm not a part of the group that says if it's not the movie costumes, it's not for me. I don't give a fuck about the movie costumes.
The problem with that for me is I think it's too close to the movie costumes that it makes you think of them, but doesn't fully commit. That's what
exactly.
I think the issue is.
Yeah, and they don't even have, like, the actors for them, so it kind of looks weird. It's like a disassociation of it.
Again, it's like seeing off-brand Avengers.
And also, the gameplay just looked on rails. And linear.
I love rails.
Compared to how you're supposed to play. Like, you're on the bridge, I believe, in the gameplay video they were showing, and you just...
Yeah.
You're fucking Thor. Like,
fuck yeah,
you're fucking Thor.
Yeah, you're fucking
And they're like, hey,
Thor.
Man.
Just follow this road.
Check out this bridge. Like, you have Mjolnir. You could just do whatever.
Just do what I tell
stay
you.
On this bridge.
Do what I fucking
yeah, stay on this
tell
bridge.
You.
Hulk. So I'm still curious to see how that goes. I know they have the Iron Man VR, too, which I'm actually curious to see how it does. Because the more I thought about it, the more I was like, that probably is a cool experience.
Yeah, I'm gonna end up playing that.
For sure. It reminded me of, what was it, the Vader game, Star Wars?
Yeah, the Vader.
And just that it was just a popular franchise.
There is a demo
really good and
out
impressive.
For it. I should probably play the demo.
Yeah, but I forgot those games were even there. So, Sony's got a lot going on.
Cool.
Until then, though, there's nothing that's gonna... Right now, there's no current next-gen thing that's really
totally.
Grabbing me. And Nintendo's just sitting there with their cards on the table, already saying, yeah, we already know what this
is. Oh, we fucking know.
Yeah, like, they already know what's going on.
Any other big news beyond that? Or I think that's pretty
honestly,
much it.
Honestly, besides the launch event, no. The Last of Us had the State of Play. I didn't watch it. I'm not about that.
I didn't actually watch it either, just because I didn't have time.
The only one I wanted to watch was Ghost of Tsushima, because, frankly, it's a game that's completely unknown to me, and I just wanted to check it. But Last of Us, I kind of know what it's about already in terms of gameplay.
Yeah, and I'm gonna.
I don't want any aspect of it spoiled. I want it to be fresh.
I know exactly what happens.
You haven't been spoiled in that, right? You have.
I know exactly what happens.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's all right.
I'm so sorry.
I don't care that much.
I don't know what happens yet. So,
hit up my DMs and know exactly what happens.
Because people are getting crafty out there. They'll go in, like, a Knack article. And they'll say, hey, Knack's great. You want to know what else is great? Last of Us is what?
You know what I do?
Exactly. I have that look on my face, or I'll take a double blink and go, all right, then.
I sought it out, because you know why? I've taken all their power away.
What? What are you talking about?
They have nothing now.
They had no power in the
They
beginning.
Try and spoil it for me? I already know. I don't care.
Oh, from the trolls? Yeah. I thought you meant, like, yeah. I actually thought you meant from Naughty Dog. I'm like, what are you talking
you
about?
Have, you
like,
ha-
they don't care.
You have no power here.
No, but I'm actually really curious to see how that does. But still plenty of games to always play. Still plenty
exactly.
of lives to ruin.
Before we move ourselves into housekeeping, I'm going to give you some anime recommendation.
Please do.
I started another Netflix anime. I started Doro Hetero.
This is with the weird lizard man?
Yeah, it's fucking weird. It's really
Dude,
good.
I just saw a trailer for that. Tell me about it, please.
Okay, so I'm only like two episodes deep. Basically, the main character is this guy who has a lizard head. He lives in this disheveled city called The Hull. And he's lost his memory. All he knows is that there are basically wizards in this world, like sorcerers. They come from another world. They make magic doors. And they come into the world. He has, like, memories of being assaulted in an alleyway and being, like, his head being turned into the lizard head. So it was clearly done by a sorcerer, but he hasn't been able... Like, sorcerers come to this world to practice their magic on people.
So it's, like, his own little pocket dimension from the real
yeah,
world?
Yeah, basically. So he's, like, become this bounty hunter, hunting down these sorcerers to try and find the one who transformed his head, because when you kill a sorcerer, all their spells are broken.
Okay.
But the weirder... like format to him is there's like a man in his mouth, like there's another head inside his mouth of a human,
the lizard man's
yeah,
mouth
of a human man that exists almost independently of him, and he doesn't know if it's who he really is. He doesn't know what the deal is, but when he like bites down on people and they're in his mouth, the man like slithers up to them and it'll talk to them, and he like he does that and then he pulls them out and he's like, what did the man say? And like every time so far he just goes like, you're not the one. And then, like, he'll just be like, it's not you, then. He's like, got no use for you. And he just fucking, like, butchers the guy.
Jesus.
It is gory as hell. It is weird as hell.
Everybody looked really buff.
The music
in the trailer.
Yeah, everybody's buff. The music is vibing. I'm into it.
I literally just saw that earlier. And it said new. And I watched the trailer. And I just said, I have no idea. I'm so glad you at least watched it to give me something. Because I didn't want to watch it and just say, like, I have no idea what it is.
It's,
and everybody looked really weird. It looked like a berserk dystopia thing where it's like...
It kind of has
because everyone has, like, skins pulled back. Or sometimes, like, they have weird stitching on them sometimes. Like, nobody looks normal.
Yeah.
Nobody looks normal.
Well,
here.
It seems like the one main thing is, like, one of the sorcerer characters, like, all his fingers are stitched back on.
Yeah, that look weird.
But, like, no, I think there's probably, like, narrative reasoning for that. Because when the main character attacks these sorcerers, one of the first things he does is he always cuts off their fingers because that's how they cast.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So, like, immediately when he attacks one of them, he'll just, like, slice all their fingers off with his knife.
Well, you know what? I'll give it to you. I'm going to watch an episode. I'm going to take this recommendation. Because this is the exact kind of push I needed. This must have been fate, because I literally saw this earlier while drinking coffee, and I said, phew.
I was
say, imagine watching this.
I was laying in bed the other night, and I was like, let's see what this is about.
That's pretty cool. No, I'll definitely give it a try. Do I have any recommendations? No. You ever see the movie Usual Suspects?
I have.
I watched that for the first time. That's not spoiled.
Yeah, no. It's a good movie.
I'm very wishy-washy. Whenever I watch a movie with Kevin Spacey...
I kind of get what you mean.
I know. I'm just... I still thought it was good.
Yeah,
that's all
no.
I'm saying.
Like, when I watch...
It kind of helps knowing that he's a piece of shit. Because in the movies where he is a piece of shit, it helps me identify that more and correlate it.
That's true. Like, when I rewatch Baby Driver, I'm like, well, at least I know. Like, at least he's the bad guy.
Yeah. And... it sounds awful. I'm very... I'm very empathetic to a lot of what happened here. So, whenever I... He's a part of the echelon now of actors or people that are generally famous that you know now, where you're like... You turn to your friend and you're like, you know, in real life, he's a real piece of shit. Like,
yeah.
Like, at least I can say that unequivocally without any doubt in my mind. Same thing with, of course, whenever you see, I can't even think of it right now. I was going to say, whenever you see anything with Bill Cosby, I actually can't. Because I don't recall anything with him, but he's in that echelon now,
like,
of people where you're just like, this guy was a real piece of
he
shit.
He hasn't really been in anything of note in the last 20 years, so that, I think that's what helps
probably
with Cosby.
Yeah, well, Kevin Spacey, he used to be one of my favorite. I was heartbroken. Not for him, but for myself, because I used the status of celebrity to propel my thoughts and feelings to this man, and I was like, this guy's cool.
Been there.
And he was not cool. Yeah, that was a real life lesson. Never hear about your heroes or never even idolize anybody. It's a fucking mistake. Celebrity is a mistake. But yeah, I watched it. I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. I was like, what a great actor, this guy. If only he didn't.
What a quality. Gen.
If only he didn't do what he did. But yeah, that's the only thing I've really watched. And I've watched Rick and Morty. So I think the time has passed. Well. The time has passed where I started getting sick of the people who kept saying Pickle Rick. Which did turn me off of the show. It genuinely did.
I think I never let those people affect my enjoyment of the show because I'm like, it's just got some really shitty fans.
No, and it's... To clarify, too, it's not really the fans themselves that turned me off. It was more the fans, I feel, or the people who were really super fans of this kept... What's the word? They ruined the comedy of the show for me for a while. Where their one-off jokes or at least everything that they would ever say, like the Pickle Rick shit.
Burned into the ground.
Yeah, like it would be, or at least it would be ingrained in my head where I would think, like they're kind of like taking this comedy and they're warping it. Now I can't unthink it. Like whenever I'm listening to those stupid ramblings of Rick or something, I think it's dumb because now I think it's correlated with.
Yeah, you're correlating it wore with off like a is negative my point. Feeling.
Yeah, I do because, you know, when you're listening to this stupid monologue shit where people actually associate this character as a good thing for them when it's not, it's supposed to be in the antithesis of what is good.
Rick is not supposed to be likable.
No. Or he's not supposed to be this enlightened being either.
He's not.
And people walk around thinking that they're the fucking...
He's not the hero.
No. So when people do... For any show and they kind of warp that, it'll kind of warp my perception when I watch it. It'll ruin it. So I finally watched it again, though. I think I was watching... I left off at season 3. Watch season 3, watch season 4. I love it. It's a great show.
It's still great.
I think we've
both been watching What We Do in the Shadows also, right?
Yeah, I adore the movie and I adore that show.
That movie was fantastic. I know it got like put on ice, but I do still hope they eventually do the sequel film Werewolves.
I am so happy that the show is good because when they first announced it, I would imagine what a lot of people's minds are whenever they know
like they could lose this really quick.
Yeah, but, I mean, they have Matt Berry in it. I love Matt Berry.
Matt Berry's fantastic.
He's one of my favorites.
I do also think, like, the elements they added are smart. Like, fully having a new House of Vampires, and at the end of season 1, they acknowledge the cast of the original film, which is great.
Yeah. Without being too crazy
into
it.
Yeah, but they're like, just there. I think Colin Robinson, the energy vampire, is all his plot beats are always fantastic.
It's just so witty. We highly encourage anybody who's ever heard of What We Do in the Shadows. You want some nice, clean comedy that's just witty?
Yeah.
You should watch that.
That Mark Hamill episode, man.
Oh, it's so funny. It's one of my favorites whenever you have comedy that's just not low-hanging fruit all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just like, even from the original when they say werewolves, not swearwolves, like stupid things like that.
Yeah, it's just funny. It's corny, but it's so, like, it's played straight-laced. It's so good.
Yeah, and it's witty, and you're just like, this is pretty cool. But yeah, I'm gonna go check out that anime where people have humans in their mouths. It's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. In the intro, the main character always talks about how much he likes gyoza. And in the intro, at one point, his head is a gyoza.
Okay.
That show's good. It's really fucking weird. Should we wrap this up then?
Get out the broom, get out the vacuum, let's do some house.
Let's keep some house. Thanks to Ed for our intro. Big thanks to Heather Ramos for our wonderful logo. Ask us questions at Gecko's Gamecast. Gecko Gamescast. I'm fucking this up a million times.
I take responsibility for that too. Gecko, I do it every episode.
GeckoGamesPodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter. You are @BeautifulEric. @Beautiful_Eric. I don't know what's wrong with me today. I am @ RichMeister0. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to be here. Y'all.
Rich, thanks for hanging out with me all the time.
I'm always happy to be here. It's a highlight of the week.
Me too. Oh, we keep just saying that.
We'll see you next time.
Fuck you. You're just saying that.
You shut up until we're off the air.